OTAs, organized team activities. It's voluntary, but it's a big part of building towards the season. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Falcons have started their OTAs today, and ironically, Kirk Cousins was nowhere to be seen. Now, shouldn't be a surprise, but the crazy thing is he showed up to voluntary workouts prior to the OTA starting. And so when that happened, we were talking about it, and I said, why is he showing up? And Mike mentioned maybe he's got bonuses included. Maybe he's got money tied to him showing up. Well, I think, Mike, at this point, is this him maybe starting to show signs of, hey, I really want out of here?
Well, again, I got that from some guys who played in the NFL, and I don't know what his motivation is because, again, you try to get between the ears of Kirk Cousins after what he pulled the last season and then the offseason. Yeah, I mean, if this is more of a, you know, I air quotes, strong arm move to, you know, show, hey, I want out of here. Okay. I mean, if the Steelers are legit, and we'll talk about that in a second, maybe we can oblige you. Aaron Rodgers had more things to say about issues that affect people, and a lot of folks are saying more of Aaron Rodgers' crazy conspiracy theories. I don't know that has any bearing on the Steelers. I think the Steelers are more concerned is when is this guy going to tell you, hey, I'm ready to go play some football. And Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, is dragging his feet with a team that seemed to be the most likely fit. But getting back to this with OTAs, I don't want Cousins here anyway. I want it to be the Michael Penix show, bro. And I don't think you're going to get anything from Kirk Cousins as far as a mentor in this situation.
No, look, I don't think he's – I've said he's not going to be a bad teammate because that's just not who he's been. But he's always gotten what he wanted, too. Kirk Cousins hasn't had to play the background when teams have gone out of their way to either, you know, franchise tag him or pay him whatever he wanted. But I just find it interesting that you show up for voluntary workouts a few weeks ago and everybody's like, hey, Kirk's here. And I went to one of those practices. He's right here. It's great. I didn't see him. And now today when OTA starts and everybody's there as we are trying to work towards something that hopefully is going to get us back towards the playoffs, it's just kind of interesting that he didn't show up. All right. The reports are out there. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, man. Let's get to 4th and 1. So, Mike, let's talk about this Steelers thing. I think it's deduction by elimination. That's what this is.
Right.
You look at the teams and you say, they don't need one. They don't need one. They don't need one. They still need one. Well, the one team that still needs one is the one team that now everybody seems to be talking about. And Jeremy Fowler reports that the Steelers could be looking to pivot to Kirk Cousins. God, let's hope so.
Right on. Now, it's always been about the money. And as we know, this is why we always felt, I mean, I felt that certainly nobody was going to give the Falcons any money. You know, so again, guys, we're on the hook for $37.5 million guaranteed. So anybody that can give us anything, this was the article that Bill Barnwell wrote a couple months back saying, you'd be lucky if you get $5 million. The article that Bleacher Report has talking about Kirk Cousins and the Steelers saying that the league has basically known that the Falcons are not going to come off of their number. They want like $10 million, $15 million. And a lot of folks feel, hey, Carl, if it was going to be $7 or $8 million, this deal would have been done before the draft.
I agree. Mike, and here's the deal. You're playing hardball because you can. We're going to get to a point where you can't. The closer we get to that, that, you know, designation of do we decide to let him go and eat this money or not, and we're already there. I mean, we really are at the point where we talk about June 1, right? And that's why I think this is heating up this week. That's why I think this is interesting that Cousins doesn't show up to OTAs. This report gets out there. Have they been sitting on this? Because I can tell you guys, a lot of times people know stuff and they just go, oh, I'll report this the week of. And right, then they do it, and all of a sudden now it becomes a bigger story. I believe that Aaron Rodgers is sitting there. He's going to tell the Steelers he's coming.
Right.
And they're waiting patiently, and it puts a hold on this situation for us because they're not going to make a move until they absolutely know that what he's doing.
Right. Now, again, the only other thing that could really help us, which, okay, then the Steelers have to call us, is if Aaron Rodgers goes to Minnesota. And, you know, Keurig, you find that interesting? I find it interesting that Minnesota has always kept the door open a crack for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, maybe to the point that they're alienating J.J. McCarthy's got no leverage to demand a trade. He hasn't done anything yet. But it is interesting, though, that they every time you hear their coach or somebody from that organization, they don't say no about Aaron Rodgers. So that would be one. You go to the Steelers and say, hey, now you need a quarterback, and we got a guy for you. Now the asking price is $25
million. All right, let's talk about our quarterback. We're talking about my quarterback. Raheem Morris today talking about Michael Penix Jr. finding his voice.
He's finding his voice, you know, like, when you take over that quarterback spot, you know, there's a certain humility about playing the position, and then it becomes a certain confidence about playing the position, and then it eventually turns into a little bit of almost an arrogance about playing the position where it becomes non-negotiable. And we're not there yet. I don't think we will be for a little bit. But I think he's at the mode of where he's starting to get the confidence to be able to figure out how to get to that moment and those points on really those quarterbacks who you know just got a little something different. I've been fortunate enough to be around a few of them in the last two, and Matt Ryan and obviously Stafford out in L.A., when they had that kind of control and you felt that kind of arrogance, you felt those kind of guys that can just go out there and win any football game, you feel like you couldn't be beat. And it was really just coming off of those guys in those moments, you know, like, and you could feel it at times, you know, even last year, but those things have come.
I mean, we just talked about swagger last hour. What you're hearing from Anthony, what you're not hearing from Anthony Edwards right now is they're on the brink against the Thunder. But yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, I didn't really want Kirk Cousins out there to be, not that Penix would have had a problem with it, but to have him over the shoulder and the feeling, oh, if you, because there always would be people going, well, if he doesn't do God, you got Cousins in case of emergency, break glass. But this is cool, and I like that. And all he's got to do now is just be a little more accurate. The spy reports today from guys that were at practice was missing some guys a little bit, maybe leading the ball too much. That's fine. We know what this guy's done in his career. We saw him do it in the regular season last year.
Yeah, I thought that's a very good way to put it, Raheem, talking about. Think about coming into the huddle for the first time, right? And you're looking around. You got all these vets. You got guys that are accomplished in the league. And you go, all right, we're about to run this, right? And then you get to the point where you walk into the huddle and everybody's looking at you because you're accomplished. And you've already shown that you can be that guy. And it's like, look, we're about to run this. There's a difference.
Right.
There just is. And it's interesting that Raheem puts it that way. And Stafford has it. Yes. Been to the Super Bowl. Won a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan had it. He's right. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long that takes, Mike. But it's going to happen.
I think you saw it. I mean, we talked about the, you know, the play. Again, it was a losing effort. But the moment in Carolina where, you know, hey, you know, you're running, your wide receiver comes back. Drake's like, I got this jump. You know, I can grease this dude. And he comes right back and they make the throw. To me, that's a little bit of swagger. You know, having the confidence, as we said, yeah, there's learning steps. There's might have, you know, by the way, the interception against, you know, the Commanders, I don't know, was somebody out of position? Did he have the ball where he was supposed to be? We always say rookie mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that 22 tape. But either way, he comes back with that laser to Pitts where he, you know, he basically shakes off a linebacker by using his eyes. So these are all things that crafty veterans can do, and I love it. I can't wait to see more of Penix Jr., but I'm with Coach. You know, get that swagger, the confidence. It's my team. And part of that, to a lesser extent, is not having Kirk Cousins around.
All right. Let's hear Coach Raheem Morris. Today, OTA started for our Falcons. The news, really, and it's not, but it is that Cousins was absent. Okay. Here's Raheem Morris talking about how Penix is different now versus coming in as a rookie.
I think I just like to watch him, how he's been searching for the knowledge, you know, the system, putting it all together, being able to go out there and formulate how he's going to run his program, what he needs to do, how he's going to continue to get better. I think him, like, having a thought process of what it's going to look like for him in the next 3 weeks of OTA days and then the next 5 weeks after that when we take our break, you know, coming back to training camp. I think all doing it for the first time as a starter for him is still a big learning curve, but I definitely like his approach. I like his open mindset. I like his ability to go out there and really get the guys going every day. I like his ability to sit back and debrief on those things when you ask him those questions. I like his ability to really figure it out and how he wants to do it better. With each individual part of his group, whether it be the team or whether it just be offense. He's a really conscientious young man, and that's just something I see him growing at every single day.
Yeah. I mean, we got OTAs this week, in the next, mm-hmm. and then, you know, it's just a couple of days, by the way. It's not like a everyday hard practice kind of deal, but to Rod's point, the next 3 weeks, off and on, and then you heard him say, they take that break. That's when everybody goes away. That's when everybody takes their vacation, guys. That's, you know, before camp starts. And then we're back at it. And then we're talking about what this team is going to be, Mike, and it's going to happen sooner than you think it is. And I am excited to see the growth of our quarterback. I just am.
Now, not to make a big deal out of nothing, but I will. Does it bother you that Kyle Pitts is not there for a voluntary workout?
Is there a reason?
We don't know yet. Now, if Coach, and we'll talk to Joe Patrick about that. If there was a prearranged excuse for an absence, whether it was a personal issue or whatever it could be, but notables.
Now, we already, but yes.
We talked about Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
McGarry isn't there. Ray McLeod's not there. And again, these guys could all have excuses.
Yes.
But Josh Kendall has this in The Athletic. But, you know, but if Kyle Pitts doesn't have an excuse, that would make me a little, you know.
Yeah. Well.
I'm not angry, but I just, you know, come on, dude. Let's go.
I think we know more than likely why Cousins isn't there. We kind of know that. But these other guys may have had plans. maybe one of them was going to visit the pyramids, Mike. Who knows, okay? During this time period. And
well, you can only do it during OTAs.
Correct,
you know that.
Correct. Not doing mandatory minicamp when Aaron Rodgers wanted to do it. But, you know, I'm not okay with it only because I want these guys to get as many reps in and the timing. Everybody always talks about this. I will continue to talk about this. Like, Michael Penix stepped into a situation last year and he looked really good. Imagine if he got all the reps with the guys and the timing was where it needed to be. Maybe that ball doesn't hit Pitts and he coughs it up for an interception.
Right. I mean, I know that over the years, and I think, you know, Randy Mack at the time, the player representative, used to say OTAs and this minicamp means nothing. Because we always used to say, hey, you know, why doesn't Julio do this with Matt? Because, you know, they never do the things in the red zone like we expected them to do. They have success, but not at the level like a Marvin Harrison, you know, and a Peyton Manning, who, by the way, did all that work. And I just read the Tom Moore book, the assistant coach. It was an assistant OC forever.
He was great.
And that's Rick Stroud's book, our buddy from Tampa. And he talked about Lynn Swann would be at every freaking practice. You know, so there's, you know, and Mike Evans would be at every single practice.
Jerry Rice.
When he was working as a consultant. I can only talk about the guys Tom Moore's talking about. He worked with him. But that, and Jerry Rice, to Carl's point, the famous work ethic. So, you know, I mean, you just wonder, does it, it can't hurt. Right, they wouldn't have these practices for blanks and giggles, right? But it is interesting. Look, as we said, if Pitts has an excuse, fine, so be it. If there wasn't, then you're going to say, look, in essence, a contract year for you? You know, get on it, son.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Hey, while we're talking about the Falcons, we got to talk about setting expectations. Interesting article in regards to our two new guys, Walker and Pierce. The prediction. I got a prediction. We'll tell you about that when we get back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Connor Riley's going to join us. A lot of stuff going on with the SEC, Big Ten, SEC meeting down in Destin. Athletic directors, coaches, presidents, and Greg Sankey is leading the way. We'll tell you the latest about that coming up at 4 o'clock. And what it could mean for college football. We all have expectations when it comes to our newest guys. We're talking about, obviously, Jamon Walker and you know, James Pierce. I don't know what number I'm willing to put on the amount of sacks that I think they're going to have yet. It's way too early. We haven't even seen them on the field, even though they're at OTAs today. And I want to wait on that. But, Mike, over the last 5 years, first-round draft picks who fell under the position umbrella of edge, okay, linebacker, defensive lineman, or edge guys, averaged about 3.5, 4 sacks on average their rookie season. So if you go back and look at two guys, and we're talking about Jeff Ulbrich, our defensive coordinator, who the Jets drafted. And let's just look at this before we talk about our two guys. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Johnson was a guy the Jets drafted in 2022, okay? First-round pick, he had 2.5 sacks his rookie year, 7.5 his second year. Took a big jump. 2023, the Jets drafted Will McDonald. Jeff Ulbrich was there. McDonald, first-round pick, 3 sacks his rookie year, 10.5 his second. Big jump. So as we talk about the impact that maybe Walker and Pierce are going to have, the projections right now, Michael, combined, they're going to have 11 sacks. Would that be enough?
I need more.
Okay.
I could have used more sacks. Now, if it is going to be, let's just say for argument's sake, you know, we're in the top third of the NFL in sacks, and Leonard Floyd has 9, and these guys have those numbers, and Ebikadi has like 6, which has kind of been his average, then maybe I could live with that, you know? Ulbrich also, by the way, you know, as you mentioned, coaching the 16 rookies, Devondre Campbell, Debo, those guys are part of his linebacker core when he was here with the Falcons. So, you know, hopefully, you know, again, imparting some wisdom on these young faces. Mm-hmm. But, well, and look, you know, don't forget, Caden Ellis can still sack the quarterback, you know?
That's right.
So that might be another country heard from. But, yeah, I mean, I would think most Falcon fans would be a little disappointed if it was just an 11 sacks combined for Jalen Walker and Pierce. But how are we going to use them? Some of its parts, you know, Leonard Floyd's going to be in that mix a little bit. But maybe if that adds up to 40, 42,
then you're okay.
45?
Then you're okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm more concerned with the total. But yes, I mean, I just think, you know, there's always going to be, and this is especially for guys who don't cover the Falcons for the national media, they'll look at us and go, aha! They reached when he went for that. They're back in the first round of the 27th pick for Pierce.
No, you're right. The thing that you should take from this is, and look, for our, Mike Smith said it. Dan Quinn said it. Coach Arthur Smith said it. The year 2 to 3 is when guys take a jump. And you're seeing it with these numbers. These are the metrics that tell you that. Right. And these are just, they're just using Jets players because that's where our defensive coordinator came from. But that's usually the case across the board. And then from 3 to 4, you turn into that guy. And then, Mike, usually if you are that guy, you get your big extension, right? They pick up your rookie deal. You get your big extension after your rookie deal's up. And now you're one of the stars in the NFL. That's usually how this works.
I mean, you know, but then there's guys like Aaron Donald where you just pop from the beginning, or Micah Parsons where you go for 13 sacks. See, that's the thing.
You're right.
Jalen Walker, now this is just interesting because he is going to be, you know, again, right up there. As an edge rusher, that's how they're going to use him. You know, that's the none of this, you know, nonsense we were talking about. Like, oh, he's undersized my butt. I mean, he's 2 inches shorter than Micah Parsons. Okay, and again, Micah Parsons ain't 6'5". So if you can do what Micah Parsons did, if you got that means 10 sacks. That's what I'll say 10, because all the comparisons to Micah Parsons mean you're going to have double digit sacks.
And that's what we're hoping for. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Look, OTAs start today. As we said, and then the schedule is May 27th, 28th, May 30th, June 2nd through the 3rd, and then June 5th. Guys, mandatory minicamp. That's where everybody has to be there. If somebody's not there, they're getting fined, right? Mm-hmm. And that's money they're not getting back. That's a different animal. This is still voluntary, but it is an expectation for you to be there. But my point is, we're getting to that point. Like, we got through the draft, and it was like, yeah! And all of a sudden, you're looking up, and it's June. Yeah. And this is when OTA starts, and then we'll get to the mandatory minicamp here. I think for a lot of teams, it starts around June 11th, 10th, 11th, or 12th, somewhere around there. And that's going to be a different conversation because we'll get a chance to see everybody on the field. Your thoughts on that? Because the expectations are going to be off the charts. And Mike's right. With us getting him in a place where a lot of people said he would be gone, he's not going to be there. And he was. And then you go, whoa. This guy's a top 5 pick. He better have 10 sacks.
Right. I mean, I just think, and you know, like Ebba Cady, you know, you always liked Ebba Cady because we always said it'd be a good second round pick. But for a second round pick, you don't have that same expectation as a top 15 or top 16 pick. So we do expect Jalen Walker. And I expect nothing less from Jalen Walker because he's that kind of alpha dog. He's going to be a leader on this team from the jump. We've already heard that. But then that's the what? You know, what's that from Top Gun? James Pierce is a wild card, totally unpredictable. What's he going to be? You know, is he going to be a guy? Because if he can get up around 8 or 9, we're talking about like 19, 18 sacks between those two. I think that's what Falcon fans are expecting.
No doubt. Here is Coach Raheem Morris, who spoke today. He was asked the question about the rookie pass rushers and what they need to do during these OTAs.
I just think they got to continue to get better, continue to get with their individual, you know, how we practice, what the practice is for. Why is this called jog through? What is the purpose of this jog through? What is the purpose of this OTA day practice and my lanes and my mentality and all those type of things? Then when you get the individual, you get to see some of the effort things that come out that you're going to try to translate once you get to training camp. So really up front, it's just a learning practice for the rookie rushers and really all of the rookies on how we practice, what we're doing it for. The player education development piece of it just continues to grow on being a part of this culture and being a part of this team.
Yeah, and look, the NFL's changed a lot of this. We don't get into the minutiae of it because no one really cares at this point. But, you know, the idea here is instead of adding all of these practices on to training camp and having guys out there all day and two-a-days and banging on each other, they've spread it out. This is what this is about now. And basically, as Coach was talking about, there's a lot of learning stuff going on. But you also get the sense like, okay, this is how we do it here, right?
Right, and it's our team.
Correct. And this is what's expected. And then when we come back from mandatory minicamp, now you're going to see guys running around and hitting a little bit. That's a little different. And when I say that, again, it's not full-bore mini or training camp, but it's a little bit more intense. And then you take that break. And so for our guys to be learning and hopefully gaining some knowledge here, that is what, you know, is going on. But, Mike, the realistic expectations, and I want to keep that in mind all year. I know we think he's going to be great. The Pierce thing, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. If Pierce leads the league in pressures and all this stuff, great. But the pressure for Jalen because of us watching him and being more familiar with him at Georgia and then getting a chance to get him when everybody said he won't be there, he's going to have that pressure. And I just – realistic expectations. If Jalen Walker has 5 or 6.5 sacks, that's realistic. If he's – like Mike said, if he has 10, dude, we got something ridiculous.
Right. But, I mean, as we said, Carl laid it out there. This was a guy that everybody thought was better than Michael Williams, at least pre-draft. Michael goes to the 49ers. John Lynch said, that's the guy I want. And so was it purely about the size and the speed? Either way, we've got a guy that all the metrics, everybody who scouted him, all the guys, all the OGs that you saw on NFL Network said, he's Micah Parsons-like. And again, I almost feel bad to say it because it just creates such a level of expectation. Yes. But I will say this, I would not be satisfied with 6. You know, 10 is a nice round number. It's like Cool Hand Luke, why you pick 10? You know, that's what we need because that means you're having a real impact over the course of the season.
I don't disagree. I mean, it's just like, Because here's the deal. You know how this works, Mike. We say it. Dukes of Bell said, and then y'all see us, or y'all come at us and like, y'all said he was going to have 10 and a half sacks. He ain't that good. When right. six would be way above the norm for most NFL guys that come in with whether they're edge or defensive lineman. When right. the average over the last 5 years, we're talking about the league, is four. So that is why you say, all right, but I'm with Mike. Like, I think he's a difference maker. I think he's an impact player. That number has to be higher in my mind, but I also understand this is rookie season. And, like, he right. may come in and be a wrecking ball, and then he may come in, Mike, and just do enough to make up an impact that we go, all right, we know we got something, right. but he didn't have the number we thought he would.
But the opposite Leonard Floyd thing gives you this other dynamic. So, if it's, you know, again, we don't know how the rotation is going to work, but just for argument's sake, if Jalen Walker is opposite Leonard Floyd, somebody's going to be eating.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Javon Kearse, 14 and a half sacks rookie year. Alden Smith, 14 sacks. Micah Parsons, I mentioned, 13. Dwight Freeney, Hall of Famer, 13 sacks. Reggie White, 13 to start his career. Bradley Chubb, 12 in Denver.
Big.
Terrell Suggs, 12 with the Ravens. Peppers, 12 with Carolina. Charles Haley, see a trend here? These are all guys that were
Hall of Famers.
And they're all top 15 picks.
That's right.
So Vaughn Miller, 11 and a half. So, I mean, this is why I'm going to say 10. Okay. I'm going to put it at 10.
All right, I love it. 404-726-0929. By the way, follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. We got a lot more to dive into, guys. Dom is doing all the things today, producing, executive producer. He is going to bring us Yeah Man, No Man coming up next. Also, Connor Riley at 4 o'clock. To talk about what's going on with the SEC and the Big Ten. Lots of information coming out about Greg Sankey trying to run things. He's trying to run things.
Strong arm.
And we'll talk to Connor about that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. United Falcons Liverpool. That's Eric's Twitter handle. He says, this whole Kirk Cousins thing, we said Cousins was not at OTAs. We got Yeah Man, No Man on the way, and our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation to talk about what's going on with the SEC, the Big Ten, and much more. But he hit us up on social media, and he was talking about, you know, Cousins, and he said, look, it's voluntary. He said, no, it's not like he's going to be on the Steelers tonight, in my opinion. No, it's not. But my thing is, he went to the other voluntary workout.
Right.
He was there for, you know, 3 days or whatever, and everybody made a big deal of it. Oh, Cousins is here.
Yeah,
why not be here today?
Got on the horn with the owner and basically said, I've got to go to a team that's like a playoff caliber and will not have a quarterback over my shoulder. And you want Cindy Crawford to make out with you, too, and back again. It's just, come on. I mean, that's why I just, you know, it's not that he's a bad guy. I just think he's used to getting exactly what he wants, which must be nice because most of us don't get that. But that's the card he's playing right now. So this could be like a soft sell as far as against, you know, the Falcons. Hey, I'm not gonna be here. Play hardball. James Cook is doing the same thing with Buffalo right now because he wants a new contract up there.
Yeah, Cook, Mike. Ironically, I'm surprised they didn't pay him. I am surprised they paid everybody else.
He's
and they
a
didn't pay
huge.
Him.
I mean, and if you look, I know that Josh Allen is a one man gang. But with that mediocre wide receiver core, this guy, and James Cook does it all, catches balls out of the backfield, and it wasn't his fault they forgot about him in the playoff game last year. So, yeah, James Cook is a huge cog in that machine. They should have given him a contract.
Yeah, we're going to see where that goes. I think we know where this is going, but we got to wait and see it play out. Hey, more on this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour and more with Raheem Morris, our head coach, had to say about the start of OTAs. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Day-Day on vacay. That means Dom is in. What's up, Dom?
Yeah, psych, not Day-Day this time. You guys get me. You get the Dominator.
Hey, we love the Dominator, man.
Yeah. You know, I like that nickname. I was funny on it at first.
Yeah.
I've come around to it.
Obviously, some women have called you that. That's why you like it.
The Dominator. I dominate.
The Dominator. What? Yes, call
did
me that.
Now, I know your dad. Did your dad have a nickname growing up?
Well, he just Mike was pretty easy for him. Same kind of deal. But he also had a little poker friends that he would go out to. They called him Leone.
Okay,
Leone.
Yeah, something
that's
like
cool.
that.
All right,
all right.
I like that.
Dominator, son of Leone.
With Yeah Man, No Man. Exactly. All righty. So Yeah Man, No Man here. I got a couple fun things for you. But first things first, I want to talk about my Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did the Dominator get into?
Yes. So I actually went out and spent some time with my girlfriend's side of the family.
By the way, very hot girlfriend.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
All right. Out of his league? Out of his league? What do you
say? No, I'm just, like we always say, I always go back to the movie Moneyball with those old scouts are sitting around the table. And they're going, I don't know about that guy. He's got an ugly girlfriend. He's got no confidence. And they're talking about a prospective hitter.
I think Dom's got that.
Dom's got game.
So how'd it go, man?
So it was great. It was great. I had a great time. Food was amazing. However, two things happened that I wanted to ask you all about. So my girlfriend's dad was the one who was on the grill, obviously. And he made some ribs.
Okay.
Great ribs.
Can I get one rib?
Just one rib.
Yeah. How much for one rib?
But what ended up happening was one of the younger children, not necessarily like a kid, but, you know, 11, 12, 13, right. One of them was getting some ribs and without tasting it, without trying it, immediately starts putting barbecue sauce on it.
Ooh.
Oh.
And her dad saw. And he pressed him. Hey, man. My ribs don't need no barbecue sauce. What you doing? What you doing? So,
that's great.
Yeah, man, no, man. Fair or foul putting barbecue sauce on another man's ribs.
I think you got to sample it first, and even then, I wouldn't think to do it. My father-in-law, Ike, no way. The time when I got hammered up there the weekend I asked for Becky's hand in marriage.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and it was just breaking my chops. And he's like, look at that. You got your girlfriend buttering your corn for you. Remember that? And I was like, Dom, my thing was like, how do I snap back at my father-in-law? I go, Ike, got to be honest, your chicken's a bit dry.
Ooh.
And it was like the record skipped. I mean, everybody was like, oh, he didn't just say that. So, yeah, I would think what I just did with my father would be about as dumb as what that person did, putting sauce on ribs without sampling them first.
No, it's foul, bro. I mean, like, first of all, you don't go to another man's cooking. Although these were his kids, right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, these were his kids.
Family.
But you can't. You got to taste it before you start piling on the barbecues because it's, you know what that is? It's rude.
Right.
What you're saying is, like, this, whatever you've prepared is not good enough. So I'm going to sauce it up so I can make sure that I take away whatever you've prepared here as far as the taste is concerned. And it's disrespectful.
Right.
Barbecuing is an art, by the way. Okay? That's why we started our whole tailgate at home thing. Right. We know all you guys love to cook, cue it up, tailgate. But it's an art. Like, I am serving you my art right now, all right? Look how good these ribs are. You've seen men clamor over their meat, right? Look at that. Look at that bark. Look at that. Look how good that looks. We trip out over this
look
stuff.
Look at that smoke ring.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, like, you're grilling out steaks, and somebody goes in their pocket and pulls out a small bottle of A1 sauce.
Yeah.
You punch him in the head.
Yeah, you can't do it. So, yeah, that's foul, man. That's foul. So what happened to the dad? He got him right?
Oh, yeah, he got him right. He just pressed, hey, man, don't do that again.
Okay.
He let him know. He let him know.
Yeah.
Learned a lesson.
Fall apart ribs? Are they good?
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Mm. By the way, did they need sauce?
No, they did not. They did not.
That's good.
Good.
One other thing that happened, one of the family members was, I believe, her uncle. He brought this very fancy slushy machine type deal.
Ooh.
It's a ninja slushy type deal, and it's very easy. You can just pour whatever juice you want in there, pour whatever alcohol you want in there, and it'll slush it up, and it's very easy and nice. However, someone asked him the price for this ninja machine. He said it cost him about $600.
Oh!
All right, may I interject?
Yes.
Best Buy's got it at $349.
Oh, well, there we go.
Walmart's got one for $2.99.
Oh.
No, because we were just literally having this conversation yesterday with people over at our house because I love a frozen Jack and Coke and it may have a slushy machine.
Mm-hmm.
So the price, we looked it up, it's about anywhere from $250 to $350.
Okay, there we go.
How big was this machine, though?
So it's about, I would say, maybe the size
of a coffee maker?
Coffee maker,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit bigger.
All
but
right.
Yeah, man, no, man, is that something you'd be willing to purchase?
Well, look, I am the wrong guy to ask because I'm one of these guys that when I want it, I get it.
Right.
Which doesn't always go over well with my wife, but she knows at this point, like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
She also knows when I start talking about things, this is the buildup. I am warning you that I'm going to get this. You know, I looked at that machine, that ninja machine, that slushy thing. You know, we drink transfusers all the time.
Right.
Wouldn't it be cool to have those frozen ones like we do at the golf course? Well, yeah, but I don't know if you can do that. And I lead up to leading her on, saying, hey, I'm going to get this. Then when he shows up at the house, she goes, you bought that? I told you months ago I was going to get it. So, yeah, I am not the right guy, but I would definitely, if it's something that I love, obviously, Uncle loves it.
Yes.
And it was a big hit at the party.
It was a big hit.
I'd probably cut the check. I'd do it.
Dudes are already hitting us up on the text line. There's cheaper versions called the Iceman slushy.
Okay.
So if you're looking for, I'm not saying the Iceman is ghetto. I don't know. But the the Ninja is going for $349 at Target. slushy machine from Wayfair, $260. Because these are all things we were looking at yesterday. Because I love slush. One of my faves, Carl's been there, Midway, over in Decatur, the Midway sandwich shop. They get those frozen Jack and Cokes, those little mason jars. Oh,
love that.
I'd like to have that at my house when I'm not driving or going anywhere.
There we go.
Slowly get wasted, sit in the pool.
Yeah.
Hopefully with a flotation device, and then have fun.
Yeah, look, I'll tell you, I mean, some of you, we talk about these transfusions. You hadn't had one until you had a frozen one. Like, yeah. Straight to the dome.
Yes.
Like, but it's so refreshing. So anyways, I'm going to say, yeah, man, I definitely would do it if, you know, if given the opportunity. But I haven't looked at them, and so until you just brought this up. But interesting.
You go. All right. Well, you're welcome for that. Mm. Next up, I'm a huge movie fan. I sent you all a trailer for a film. This film is by Jordan Peele. It's called Him. Essentially what it is, it's a blend of horror and sports.
Oh.
It seems like it's going to be a kid is trying to, you know, make it into the league, and what are you willing to sacrifice to be great is essentially
right.
The whole
but
deal.
It's Jordan Peele, so does he become a vampire, or do aliens get involved in this process, Carl?
Who knows? Yeah, man, no, man, you guys are in on a sports horror movie.
I just looked at the trailer. I saw this trailer in a theater like a few months back. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. And plus, Jordan Peele makes good stuff.
No, he does. He's bringing a lot of fresh ideas to Hollywood. There's no doubt.
Because the premise on this is basically the kid or the young quarterback goes to a dark place, Carl. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's working with a veteran quarterback, and the sacrifices and the discipline. But it just, 'cause you know, in Jordan Peele, it's going to be something more than just simply a guy putting in running with a parachute to work on his sporting time.
We went and saw this movie. I think we talked about it, Mike. It was called The Substance.
Uh-huh.
Demi Moore.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if this is similar in the way that she was an aging actress who basically wanted the fountain of youth to remain where she was in her life.
Right.
Because they're trying to replace her, I think, if it was the premise. And then it gets gory and all this stuff. And, it got rave reviews because Demi Moore killed the part. But I wonder if this is like that, where this kid has to do some things that maybe are immoral, right? That make him become. And I don't know. We haven't seen the movie that Mike's mentioned. The trailer's out there. But, yeah, man. And look, Marlon Wayans is in this. I saw who else is playing in this. It's got some pretty good actresses and actresses. So, yeah, it's called what? Him?
Yeah, Him.
All right.
That's what they say. You know, I'm him all along. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm him.
I'm with Mike. I definitely probably want to go see it. So Jordan Peele produced it. Monkey Paw Productions. Okay.
That's his company.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious. I want to go check it out. Look, I went and saw Nope. And I was like, I had no expectations. Didn't know what it was going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah. What was the other Jordan Peele movie that we ranted and raved
about? So you had Get Out.
It was not Get Out.
Because Get Out
right?
was transformative.
Yes.
Get Out was a pop culture phenomenon.
Yes. Yeah.
And the subsequent wasn't that. Wasn't now. It wasn't.
But it was good. It was good, but it wasn't that. So I'm interested. Yeah.
All right. Last one before we get out of here. It's actually a film that you earlier today brought up, Carl Dukes, and that was Mission Impossible.
It was great.
Talking about Tom Cruise. With this Mission Impossible film and just his entire catalog, Yeah Man, No Man, is Tom Cruise the greatest action movie star of all time?
You know what? That's a really good question. So Arnold, in his documentary, talks about becoming the real first action hero, right? And then you had Stallone, okay? Now, during that time, obviously, Tom Cruise is young in his career in the early 80s, and he's doing, you know, Risky Business and all these other movies. But if you were to look at his catalog now and say he might be that guy. Right. I mean, it's hard for me to argue that he's not. But, Mike, how many Mission Impossibles is this? This is The Final Reckoning. So this is, what, eight?
Yes,
eight of these,
like
I think
that,
it is, or something like that?
Well, I mean, when you think about, you know, action stars, I mean, you know, you go back, Carl just mentioned Schwarzenegger, Stallone. You know, in the old days, you know, you had, you know, Steve McQueen, you know, Paul Newman. But they would do those genres. But these guys, specific for action movies, Tom Cruise has done serious dramatic work. But you're right. The last half of his career has been action.
Yes.
And as well documented, he does all his stunts. So, yeah, I think, and when you also, when you look at the bankable movies, if Tom is in a movie, he's doing his own stunts, it's going to make billions. And so he's also probably, I'd have to go, we have to tally it up. I'll look it up. I'll ask the AI here on the computer who's the action star who's created the most juice, because, you know, The Rock has become a guy in this generation. But I don't think anything touches what the Mission Impossible franchise has been.
Look, I said this when we did this right after COVID. Tom Cruise got people to go back to the movies, right? Top Gun Maverick.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, he was the first guy, like, you went in and he said, hey, thanks for coming out. Right. And everybody's like, all right. And then the movie was really good. He got people to start going back to the movies. I would have to agree. I'm going to say, yeah, man. After looking at what, and by the way, I know you guys don't think this because you see him running on the movies. 60 something. Right. Tom Cruise has been doing it forever, but he looks so young. His body, he's in great shape. That's a great question, Don, but I would say yeah.
I'm looking at the numbers is the website. That's hard to believe. They've kind of lumped everybody together into the genre, like the Marvel
action
movies.
Yeah.
So by definition, because he makes the most movies, Samuel L. Jackson has been in the most.
Okay.
But I wouldn't consider Samuel L. Jackson an action star.
Mm-mm,
so Robert Downey right now, Benedict Cumberbatch, because he's been in a million movies, Chris Hemsworth. So right now, Tom Cruise on that metric would be top five. But, you know, but again, I mean, Robert Downey, it's CGI. I mean, Tom Cruise is doing everything. You know, I mean, definition of action is, you know, action movies.
That's right.
Fight sequences, stunts. So, yeah, I'd say, yeah. I'd say, yeah, man.
And by the way, the action scenes in this last one and Final Reckoning are ridiculous. Like, the action scenes are like, I don't even know how he did that.
Like, remember the Olympics? I mean, it's funny because when he said the opening ceremonies or the closing ceremonies, it's like, oh, Tom Cruise is going to jump into the friggin' because no one bats an eye. It's kind of what he does. He's going to ride a motorcycle through the streets of Paris. It's kind of what he does.
Parachutes,
you know?
In.
Right.
Dom, great stuff, man. Coming up, Connor Riley's going to join us, guys. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey opened the league's annual meetings Monday by saying, yeah, we got to be open-minded about some things. We got to get into this. It's interesting. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.